effort to remember who you are. We thank you for every rich blessing. We thank you for this congregation of your people who hold up the light of the gospel in this community. We pray your blessings upon this day and all throughout this meeting, that much good might be accomplished and that all might be uplifted. Please bless those who are traveling, bless those who are struggling with their health, that they might have the help that they need. Help each of us each day to remember you and your Son and the great blessings that we have. Please forgive our sins, bless us through this service. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for a lot of familiar faces from last night, a lot of new faces this morning. It's good to see you all. Thank you for coming. Last night, we entered into a celebration of praise to our King, Jesus. We celebrated his preeminence in everything, right? His authority over everything and what it cost him to become our King. I hope it was helpful for you last night. I hope that it was a good exercise and a good celebration. To think and imagine Jesus in his majesty, Jesus in his war clothes, Jesus as our King that's taking complete care of us. And it really charged me up last night. I hope it charged you. And we're going to pick up right where we left off this morning. And if you weren't here last night, the way we structure these kinds of lessons, we call them song sermons. So there'll be some sermon, there'll be some song, there'll be some sermon, there'll be some song. It's a little bit of back and forth. You know what that does? It keeps you from dozing off in the middle of the sermon.
There you go.
There's a little bit of an underlying reason for these kinds of sermons. Anyways, but also, obviously, the deeper reason is that the hymns, things that we've sung for years, we may have just kind of, we know the words, and now we kind of can autopilot sing them sometimes, but we need to go back every once in a while and just really dig into what some of those words are saying.
Amen.
And they really can be really good ways of helping to remember the sermon, important ideas, spiritual matters, just tucked away in these hymns. So that's part of the aim of this whole series of lessons as well, is to kind of dig deep back into some of what these hymns say that we've been singing for a long time. All right, so we had a celebration of praise last night, and today we're going to answer the question of, well, Jesus is King, well, what next? What do we do about this? How do we respond? We reinforce the fact that Jesus is King. He is the Messiah, the Christ. And how do we respond in our thoughts, words, and our deeds? Before we begin to sing, this will be our first hymn in a couple minutes, I'd like to take us back to the time of David. 1 Samuel chapter 22, we come to David at a very low point in his life. He had been rejected by King Saul, so much so that Saul wanted him dead, right? So David leaves, he's hiding, he's kind of bouncing around, trying to figure out who's on his side and what's going to happen, and just trying not to be killed. David has fled for his life, and he is now hiding in a cave. All right, in 1 Samuel chapter 22, in the first verse it says, David departed from there and escaped to the cave of Adullam. And when his brothers and all his father's house heard it, they went down there to him. And everyone who was in distress, and everyone who was in debt, and everyone who was bitter in soul, gathered to him. And he became commander over them. And there with him were about 400 men. So David is alone in a cave. And then about 400 societal, for lack of better term, rejects. Just the people that just didn't like what was going on. They were upset. They didn't like Saul, what was going on. They arrive, right? When they find out where David is, they show up to him. And David becomes their commander. They submit to him as their commander. because they see in him something special. Now let's flash forward to the end of David's life, when he's recounting his soldiers and his army. In 2 Samuel chapter 23, we read about the mighty men of David's army, right? The special 30 men, and then a couple more. Forgive me for the names, I'm just going to read a couple of them, but I want you to listen to what these men were able to do. Joshebasheth, that's a good one, it's a mouthful. Joshebasheth, he took on 800 Philistines at one time by himself. God delivered and made a great victory that day. Eleazar, son of Dodo, fought so hard one time that he couldn't even take his hand off his sword. It was stuck. He couldn't undo his hand. He fought so hard. Shammah, son of Agi, he stood ground in a field of lentils and just took on scores of Philistines. And then in that chapter in verse 23, we get a little insight into who some of these men were. It says, while at the cave, so we know that some of these men were with David at the cave, David longed for a drink from the well in Bethlehem where he grew up. And three of those soldiers broke through the enemy lines and got him a drink from that well. They traveled a long distance for that too. And they came back, and David was just so touched by their gesture, he couldn't drink it. He couldn't drink it. But it meant it was so touching to him that three of these men would do such a great thing for him. And then we have Abishai. He killed 300 Philistines by himself at one time. Benaiah, who became one of David's most trusted men, he killed a lion. He defeated this great Egyptian soldier. It was a great scene. You can read it yourself. Chapter 23 of 2 Samuel. He took the Egyptian spear from him and killed him with it. It was a great battle. And the list goes on, even to include Uriah, who we know a lot about, right? Uriah was one of David's mighty men. All right, so you're probably thinking, what's my point? We know at least three of these guys were with David at the beginning, in the cave. And many of the others joined early on, even before David became king. They saw in David something special, right? He was the anointed. He was a great warrior. Remember, at this point, when David's in the cave, he had already defeated Goliath. People already saw that. And he'd already been Saul's hero, his warrior hero in his army. And now he's huddled in a cave, wondering what's going to happen. And there's several psalms where you can kind of piece together that, oh, this psalm that David wrote was when he was in the cave. He's really crying out to the Lord for help. These men also saw in David more than just a warrior, but a compassionate warrior poet, blessed by his Lord, and they committed themselves to him. At that point, they committed their lives. They even brought their families. We're going to be yours, David. We're going to be yours. And they became, arguably, the greatest fighters in the history of this world. They were transformed into, lack of better terms, true Davidians, right? They became, you see David in his glory as Saul's general, the fighter, killing his 10,000 Philistines, the Psalms were, right? And now these men are coming and devoting their lives to him, and they, through the years, become great warriors themselves. Can we draw a comparison to ourselves from this? If we commit to Jesus, our King, the way they committed to David, ought we to be transformed into a formidable force of Christians, defeating and extinguishing the effects of sin and evil around us with the help of our King? I think we know the answer to that, right? I think that's a rhetorical question. That's a yes. So it is established. Jesus is King, right? What next? How do we respond? He's our King. We're Christians. We're in his kingdom. He is our king. What are we going to do now that we are in his kingdom? How do we react in thought, word, and deed? So today's lesson is going to have 8 hymns to help us answer this. And the list could be just so many more. We could sing the whole book and find a part of every one of these hymns about how we should respond to Jesus. But nonetheless, it's a task that we should start doing, even if we're just going to choose eight. And I hope this exercise will cause us to really pay attention to the words that we're singing. And that's what we really want to focus on today. Our first selection is probably the most unlikely, right, of an opening hymn, right? We usually typically sing I Surrender All before baptism or for an invitation hymn or whatnot. But we're going to sing this as an opening hymn. And I think there's only one appropriate first response to Jesus as our King, and that is that we surrender all. So let's sing this together. Let me clear my throat too. So.
All to Jesus I surrender.
Face a chance against him or independent of him? No, we don't, right? We don't. So let's make this more personal, right? With this next hymn. It's true to say he's the King. Or even he's a King. But when we say he's my King, now that's saying something different, right? That's saying something more personal, and that's making a statement, right? And as we sing this song together, I want us to discover the joy that comes from exclaiming the very title of this hymn. All right, let's sing together. If you want to stand with me, let's stand together. Great.
Amen.
to serve a King who loves us everlastingly. What a blessing that is, right? Just thinking about things we sang about last night and what we've been singing about already today, talk about today. What a blessing, what a gift of grace that is. To really ponder on that, it could just take the rest of our lives, right? Do we deserve such a gift of such a great King? In Psalm 8, David asks a similar question, right? He says, "And when I look at your heavens, Lord, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him?" Such a blessing. We think about the immensity of creation and all that we don't see and the things that we see and all that's going on. And we have a King that cares for us everlastingly. What a gift of grace that is. This next hymn, "Is It For Me?" It's going to lead us introspectively, kind of go or think inwardly, right? On a path. Who am I to be given such a gift to serve such a King? I'm going to think about that while we sing. How should I respond to this? Is it for me? It's a question, right? It's not, is it for me? Is it for me? Me? Why me? Right? This song is going to help us to understand this blessed gift.
Is it for me, dear Savior, my glory and my rest? For me, so weak and sinful, oh, shall I be so blessed? Oh, Savior, my Redeemer, what can I but adore and magnify?
Savior, my Redeemer, what can I but adore and magnify and praise thee and love thee evermore? That's an appropriate response to such a gift, right? That's an appropriate response. All right, the next two hymns are going to be coupled together in their messages. Therefore, we're just going to sing them back to back. We'll take a pause, I'll get a new note, and then we'll start. But I'm not going to talk in between them. Jesus is our King. And he wouldn't be such a great one if he let us be idle and grow lazy, right? That's not a good king. He's got plenty of work for us. He needs workers because his kingdom is growing. Would you respond to his call by being a worker for the Lord, sowing the seed of his kingdom, laboring every day in his vineyard? These are appropriate responses, right? Let's sing this together. I want to be a worker for the Lord.
I want to be a worker for the Lord. I want to love and trust his holy word. I want to sing and pray and be busy every day in the kingdom of the Lord. I will work, I will pray in the vineyard of the Lord. I will work, I will pray, I will labor every day in the vineyard of the Lord. I want to be a worker every day. I want to lead the erring in the way that leads to heaven on high, where all is peace and love in the kingdom.
Are you sowing the seed of the kingdom, brother, in the morning bright and fair? Are you sowing the seed of the kingdom, brother, in the heat of the noonday's glare? For the harvest time is coming on, and the reaper's work will soon be done. Brother, for the harvest pure and wide.
you noticed a slight shift in the direction of our singing in that last one, right? Up until Sowing the Seed of the Kingdom, we had been saying a lot of I's, a lot of me's, a lot of my's, right, in our songs. If you think back to what we'd sung already. The hymn we just sang shifts that focus from ourselves and singing to God and to Jesus and acknowledging them to each other. Are you sowing the seed of the kingdom, brother? Right? So we're singing to each other on that one, or sister, right? And a vital part of our service to our King is to encourage each other to do just that, right? We must view this as a crucial part of sowing the seed of the kingdom in each other while we sow seeds of the kingdom out in the world. Now we're going to shift a minute. Let's move along to talking about cravings, right? I don't know about you, but I crave cookies. I crave ice cream. I crave all those things. I crave, after living in New York City for 12 years, I crave stillness. I crave uninterrupted thoughts. I crave long stories that kind of wind and you read them and you're like trying to piece it all together. I love those kinds of things. I crave those things. But I understand that these things are fleeting, right? That they're to enjoy now, but they're going away. And that they only bring temporary satisfaction in a world that can be a roller coaster, right? As we serve our King longer and longer in the flesh, our souls need and should crave one thing, and that is our King, and more of our King, Himself. And the words of this hymn, I think, provide for us an appropriate response to following our King. Please, sir, can I have some more? Let's sing this together. More about Jesus.
More about Jesus would I know, more of His grace to others show, more of His saving fullness see, more of His love who died for me. More about Jesus, more about Jesus, more of His saving fullness see, more of His love who died for me. More about Jesus, let me learn, more of His holy will discern. Spirit of God, my teacher be, showing the things of Christ to me. More about Jesus, more about Jesus, more of His saving fullness see, more of His love who died for me. More about Jesus in His Word, Holy Communion with my Lord, hearing His voice in every line, making each faithful saying mine. More about Jesus, more about Jesus, more of His saving fullness see, more of His love who died for me. More about Jesus on His throne, riches and glory all His own, more of His kingdom sure increase, more of His coming Prince of Peace. More about Jesus, more about Jesus, more of His saving fullness see, more of His love who died for me.
All right. So up to this point, we focused on following responses to Jesus as our King, fully surrendering to Him in every way. I surrender all. and finding joy in serving him. He's my king, right? Realizing the immense and undeserved blessing it is to serve such a king. In the song, Is It For Me? We find motivation in him to get to work in his kingdom, both in bringing the good news to outsiders and building up fellow citizens, right? And once we experience what it's like to serve him, to crave more. To crave more of our king. So we just have three more left in this section. And the next two will be coupled together just like we did a little while ago. And then we'll have an invitation hymn. The two that are coupled together emphasize a simple, unified message. And that message is simply trust. We've seen too many times, especially nowadays, a dictator forcing their citizens into their own twisted and selfish ideas, only to suffer and suffer more. The leaders may have the service of their citizens, but they will never have their hearts in trust. Jesus is not like any other king this world has ever seen or will ever see, right? We sang over and over last night, he is worthy of 100,000,000% of our trust. And when we respond to him with our trust, wow, look out. The things that he can do in us, through us, for us, we can't even know it, right? We can't even know what he is capable of doing through us if we are just to trust him 100% with what we have. Next two hymns, standing on his promises would be good too, and trust and obey. If we're singing a song about standing, we should probably stand, right? So let's stand together and sing this one together. I want to give you a heads up that we will be singing on this one the three verses, and then we'll sing the chorus after the third verse, but it'll show up here correctly. But you might want to jump to the chorus after the first verse, but it's not going to be there. So, standing on the promises.
Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal
trust and obey, for there's no other way.
When we walk with the Lord in the light, His word, what a glory is.
So as we close out this lesson, let's go back to the beginning for just a moment. Remember when David was in the cave? What kinds of folks showed up to help him? Remember the distressed, the people who were just unhappy and were in debt? Some family showed up too. I'm sure Saul was pestering them to figure out where David was, so they eventually came to him too. When they responded to David's call, they turned into something else, didn't they? Remember? The mighty men, the mighty warriors, the great ambassadors for David. You know, another king made a similar statement. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus the Christ is calling us into his kingdom. To enter, we must do exactly what that last hymn tells us: trust and obey him. We must trust in his power to save us and transfer us out of the domain of sin and darkness that is run by a dictator who's already lost the fight, and into the kingdom of a king who loves us and wants us. If you're in the kingdom and you're struggling, perhaps the third verse of that song we just sang is what you need to hear and take to heart. But we never can prove the delights of his love until all on the altar we lay. Have you been all in, trusting and obeying him? If not, recommit 100% and let your brothers and sisters help you. Remember we sang about helping each other in the kingdom. It's a big part of what we do. If you're not in his kingdom yet, the final hymn that we're about to sing, Who Will Follow Jesus, will ask you just that. Will you follow him? Will you reply to his call to his kingdom? If you're not in his kingdom and you'd like to come to him to be washed in his blood in baptism, the death, burial, and resurrection that he requires to enter into his kingdom, trust in his power to save you from your sins and from hell. Come forward as we stand and sing this song together. Who will follow Jesus? Who will make reply?
Who will follow Jesus standing for the ride, holding up his banner?
Who will follow Jesus? Who will make reply? Thank you for being here. Thank you to our guests who come to be with us today. In just a moment, Brother Campbell is going to lead us in a closing prayer. And then individually, we have put together a potluck at the food bank. And as I say, you've got some very professionally drawn maps here to show you how to get there. Come on, and we'll share each other's food and company and enjoy one another until a little while before 2, and then we'll come back over here. And Joe, I'm going to have to be going right away, so you mind closing things down?
I can do that.
I knew you could. And so we're going to have you can stand if you want to, be led in closing prayer, and then we'll be making our way over to the food bank.